in chapter one, page one, which incidentally is on cellular injury and adaptation. It's talking about the etiology or the cause of disease. The concept of one cause leading to one disease developed largely from the discovery of specific infectious agents as the causes of specific diseases is no longer sufficient. I couldn't believe when I found this. This is currently being taught to medical doctors all over the United States. They're being taught germs are not the single cause of disease. They can contribute to it, but they are not the cause. When you got the flu, isn't a little flu virus that's jumping in and getting you. It has to be a series of factors. And we're going to talk about why we find these particular germs around and what they do and how they support us. Continue. Although it's true that there would be no malaria without malarial parasites, or no tuberculosis without a tubercle bacilli, and no gout without a derangement in the urate metabolism, underline this. Not all individuals infected with these organisms or born with this metabolic abnormality develop the disease. So we're saying here, and this is a fact, is a lot of people have all these germs, but they don't have anything happen in their body ever. So if germs are the cause, there's no such thing in science as a cause without a what? In fact, that's what he's pointing out here. Okay? So he says, or develop it at the same rate or with the same severity. This is currently, this is not Tony Robbins, this is the man from Harvard telling you this is the basis of all disease. And yet, when you open your newspaper and we get here near January 1, I guarantee you're going to be hearing about that flu bug coming to get you again. Yep, it's coming. It's going to get you. Has nothing to do with your lifestyle. It's that bug going to get you. Because then if it's your lifestyle, then you might have to be responsible or something. And plus, we can't sell you anything if it's your lifestyle and it's you. In fact, you might even not buy some of the things we have if that were true. So we got to make sure that you continue to be fragile and know that it's not you, it's just these bugs getting you, which we're going to approach. Here's the cause of disease. Health is what? Health is what? So the cause of disease is a lack of energy, which we really call disease is due to a deficiency of force. That's according to Dr. Isaac Jennings. Disease is due to a deficiency of force. Deficiency of force. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'll give you an example. Dr. Isaac Jennings is a very famous allopathic medical doctor in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And Isaac Jennings, one day, just doing his normal allopathic medicine, he'd been working for 15 years as a traditional doctor, medical doctor, he started having some challenges in his city where they were unable to get some drugs to treat people with. There was a shortage. So people came to see him, and they were completely freaked out. So what he did was, he didn't treat them because there was nothing there, and he said, you know what I'd rather you do? Go home and rest, drink lots of fluids, the kind of stuff most people tell you to do after you've had the flu shot and you still get the flu, what you should do, right? And so sure enough, these people got well without any treatment, which just fried his brain because it broke his what? And it caused him to question some of his what? And all of a sudden, he wasn't so certain about the cause of disease, even though he'd gone through the traditional medical education, which, by the way, you talk about having compassion for a doctor. Go watch what a doctor has to go through to make it through medical school. You talk about a dehumanizing process. Unbelievable what these people go through. First of all, just to get into medical school, you got to be a genius, right? And you learn from day one, you can never be wrong, because if you are, you're out. And medical school is the process of not only physically destroying somebody, because you give them more physical work than they can possibly do. Many doctors have to use all kinds of stimulants to stay up just to study. So they already learn to become dependent on chemicals. But in addition to this, they're constantly trying to push you over the edge. And the reason they're doing that is because they're afraid in real life and life and death situations, you know, you're going to fall out. So they want to make you fall out still in medical school. So it is a totally abusive, destructive, dehumanizing process where doctors have zero time to stop and say, does this make sense to me? They have to know the answer they're being taught and be able to give it immediately or they're gone. All out of their desire to help other people, right? Unbelievable what they're put through. And then they learn, then, boy, you better be right. Then they go to the residency, and boy, you better be right. So their whole life, they had to be right, because not being right, it means the end. And then we expect them to be right always and not to be a human. Pretty crazy. So this man, fortunately, got out of all that conditioning, and what he began to do was ask new what? And he asked questions. And that produced even more doubt and gave him a break in his pattern to look at other possibilities. So what he began to do is an experiment. He decided that he was going to start treating people and just see what would happen with only two things: colored water and red pills. Which are called what?
Placebos.
Now, most of you know that placebos absolutely change people. In fact, any disease known to man currently today, when they do a test, a certain percentage of them will use a placebo, no drugs, and people get well no matter what. And it varies based upon which study you read, but it's usually anywhere from a quarter to 30% just by a placebo, meaning they don't even get the person to change their habits or anything else. Just the belief that they're going to get better. Their mind giving the direction. 25%, 30% on average. In virtually any disease you can imagine. What he found was something really amazing. He added to placebo some instructions about lifestyle. Just told them some things to do that would allow them to build up their nerve energy, because what he began to see is these people are just run down. And so now when they're in a run down state, of course, all the things in the world that normally there to support you to eliminate waste like germs, now they start to build up and take over because the natural process of the body is so weakened. So he'd give them this stuff and they'd say, no, I want you to rest. I want you to drink these fluids. I want you to go out and do a little movement. You'd give them this exercise. And he documented every single case for 20 years. He treated everything from polio to smallpox to the flu, never once using a drug for any one patient in 20 years, and kept track of the results. He kept track of his results compared to everybody else in the county in which he lived, how often his patients even came back to see him, how often it took for them to make it through the disease, documented it, and wanted to have his life's work, which he called the no medicine approach to medicine. He thought for sure he would win the Nobel Prize. What do you think happened when he came out with this study? He was viciously attacked by the traditional medical approach. And he was also attacked very intensely, as you might guess. By the way, he developed many other doctors who agreed with him and did many studies over the next 10 or 20 years, and they created something called the Natural Hygiene Society, which exists to this day.